So welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and today we're taking a look at The Boys Season 2, Episode 7, When Things Start Getting Real. So the last episode dealt with the Sage Grove Center, which they were attempting to create adult supers instead of them kind of being born that way. And this one tries to wrap up a whole bunch of different storylines into one episode.
A lot of moving parts going on.
Yeah, but for this one, you kind of have this whole backstory about the government wanting to stop the Vault Company. Just those ramifications really kind of conclude the episode. Each character gets a different segment. Colonel Mallory has something.
More continuation from what happened the last episode.
Yeah, MM has something. Frenchie has something. Karen Fukuhara's character has something. Huey and Starlight have something. Stormfront and Homelander's relationship and his son. Keith, how did you feel about episode 7 of The Boys season 2?
Try to wrap up a lot of parts because they only got one episode left, right? Which
that is correct.
I think I said this last season, that 8 episodes isn't enough. It ended up wrapping up, but it ended on a cliffhanger last season. Now, the last episode of last season was very strong. Go true to form, it's gearing up for episode 8 to be, this coming Friday, to be something explosive is about to happen. Some like real shit is about to pop off. But I liked it. It's set up very well for what's going to happen on episode 8, but we're going to have another cliffhanger because there's just way too many plots up in the air for that to happen. And I can understand now why they released it week after week instead of giving everyone one huge chunk, because this is a very bingeable show. Probably should wait for the whole 8 weeks, for the 2 months after The Boys is released. Then you can watch the whole thing in one sitting.
Yeah.
Because you immediately want to watch what's going to happen next. I want to say that it's more Homelander being a dick. Really love to hate the guy, but there is, I guess that's the earmark of a good villain. It's like watching a train wreck happen. You're kind of like, oh my God, what's he going to do now? Then you get this congressional hearings thing pop off and you're like, damn, dude didn't even do anything. And some horribleness just pops off around him.
Yeah.
It's a good scene. I thought the scene with Butcher and his family was an interesting backstory, but I don't know if it needed to be played out in this episode.
Yeah. Again, as I said, everyone has a little bit of this episode. While they're still this whole thing about the boys trying to stop Vought, deal with this congressional hearing, and also like trying to protect the AOC equivalent in the show. Show stops, like literally stops to focus on Butcher getting phone calls, him just trying to ignore the phone call until a certain point. Then it's this whole thing about his dad and how his dad was just a horrible person.
So wasn't born this way, that we already know why Butcher's an asshole is because Homelander raped his wife and supposedly killed.
Yeah. Throw he had already redeemed himself just because he had found a relationship. He was happy. And then all of a sudden, his wife is just not responsive
raped
to him.
Raped and murdered by Superman, and it's impossible to do anything with it.
Yeah, and then he just goes on this, I want vengeance. So
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's get some comments from Matt. Matt.
Felt that this is one of the best episodes of season 2. Tempo that they had in this one episode is what I felt like how it was all season 1. So I was kind of, in retrospect, to compare to all the other episodes that we watched for season 2, I kind of felt a little disappointed that we could have had this, especially given the multitude of storylines that was happening at the same time. I like the fact that there's a little bit of humor in this as well. I think the part with the movies, Fire Guy, what's his name? Lamplighter?
Yeah.
Much needed humor.
Yeah, so Lamplighter is just raging on porn.
It's hilarious. I mean, like, really? Superheroes? Doing this, I mean, you would never ever guess that, but kind of feel shortchanged given that there's only 8 episodes and they waited until this one to actually really, really get going. Especially, I think they could have taken this one episode and probably drawn it out in another 3
elements that we haven't touched on again, the Lamplighter stuff. Pretty much, Queen Maeve has a whole another storyline in this one. Ashley has some form of redemption if she feels sorry for Queen Maeve. And then also A-Train and the Deep have something. And it's just like so many stories in one episode that seem like, as Matt was saying, it could have been 3 episodes. And I think it just kind of goes to some of the writing. I'm not sure what the approach to this particular season is, but it felt rushed. The first 2 to 3 episodes felt like nothing. And then maybe episodes 5, 6, and 7, like just a ton of stuff happens. And
yeah, it all set up the first few episodes and with enough action to keep it moving, to keep it interesting. But
I just felt like the first season was much more balanced. And even though you're getting to know the characters, I just felt the natural progression that you have a central protagonist or protagonist group and a large group of antagonists. We need to stop this problem. And this season, it's like all of these problems. I mean, it's all of everybody's personal issues coming to light. And it just seems to be, particularly for this episode, for this particular episode, all that stuff happening, like, so certain characters only get maybe about like 5 to 7 minutes of screen time.
I don't think it was necessarily screen time itself, but it's what the quality of what they were doing. I mean, it was all set up for what's in the next episode, and that is Queen Mei, for instance. I mean, she breaks up with her girlfriend. She shows her girlfriend why the real her, what's going on in her life. Then she goes back to being what she was before, which is chain smoking, having meaningless sex, and just not caring about anything in the world. And in the end, she's got this threat of Homelander hanging over her head. And then she gets an opportunity to throw some redemption or step up in some kind of way when she saves Starlight. Kind of like each one of them had their own little mini arcs within that episode. So I wonder if that might be what you're seeing.
Felt like a lot. Matt, comments?
A bit too much, a lot going on. Thankful for it. But then if anything, it just drives up my anxiety even more about this last episode. Because after that, we're looking at, what, maybe another 8 months till the next season goes? And I guess if that was their intent, that's fine. But I was just so used to the pace storyline from season one that season two was a letdown up until this previous episode, feeling that I should have got much more out of it than I did.
And I know that the writer really wanted this to be paced out as far as how the episodes get released. And I still feel like that's a mistake, but binge watch this, all this stuff would have been done back in September. Just your expectations for the last episode.
Personally, I think what's going to end up happening, they're going to bring it more in line with the comic books. I think the Stormfront storyline is going to get resolved quite violently and bloody. Homelander situations are all going to be dealt with. And as well as the rest of the team, the rest of the boys, probably going to get resolved in this is we find out who's blowing up heads and definitively dealt with. And I'm wondering if they're setting it up for Compound V, for someone on the boys' side to get Compound V.
MM turns into Luke Cage.
Pretty much, and Butcher just goes off and stuff. The comic book artist, that the guy who created the comic book, is writing on the show and everything. I'm kind of a huge part in the comic book. Well, not that big, but it was in there. I'm wondering if that's going to play a more at part in the whole thing. So the only one thing is really going to get resolved in this and queue up and end up on a cliffhanger that we'll have to wait another, like Matt said, another 8 to 12 months for.
Matt?
I expect full-on violence, fast-paced, continued storylines to include twists, as well as maybe a character that we learn a little bit more insight on, or if someone coming back to life. That's my kind of 2 cents on it, as well as possibly introduction of another character that'll tie into the other one. Because they've already renewed for season, 3 and 4, from my understanding.
So I'm not sure.
Expect a lot of action, a lot of drama, everything that all of season one was tied up into one episode. Probably be the best episode of the season yet. Well, it better be, because if it continues under the slow trend, I don't see the hype machine for this show to keep going. Not if it continues with slow tempo. Looking forward to it, though.
I think something might happen between Butcher and Homelander again, mainly because of that whole situation with the son early on in the season. It was just like, screw him. He's a super, and you don't need him. You need me. And yeah, that's kind of what separates him from his connection to his wife. And
Butcher's storyline, well, I don't see that progressing anymore.
Because the son is gone, and that his wife is now, I'm not sure if she's still just living in the compound or whatever happens, I think that she might reach out to him.
Oh, yeah, she definitely will.
So,
I wonder if there's a, yeah.
Yeah, so there might be something that leads to some confrontation between him and Homelander. I mean, this is how it started. At least there might be something kind of hinting towards that. Like what Keith was saying, that someone might take Compound V.
I see that happen. I think Yui's going to take it. And he's going to have like very weird effects. Hopefully he doesn't have like Sausage Man effects, because that was kind of gross.
Yeah, and then I think somehow the church will be involved, because again, some of those people that were supposed to be in the new version of the 7 A-Train replacement, he gets his head blown up. So how do you get them back in the 7? You need people that you can trust to deepen A-Train in there, even though they're kind of going through this whole storyline about people getting kicked out of the church and how you need to excommunicate them and not talk to
like
them.
Scientology.
Yeah. And pretty much everybody, maybe except for Stormfront, might be safe. I think something has to happen with Stormfront, because I really don't see her character progressing past this season. What might be happening? Maybe she might be lying about things, even though the comic books follow a certain line that Stormfront, he was created kind of in the same vein of Homelander. I think there might be something that ticks Homelander off and she get laser-eyed. But I think everybody else is probably safe. I mean, even though there will be some lead up to a confrontation, I just think everyone other than Stormfront, because I think Karen Fukuhara's character might give her the business. Any other wrap-up thoughts?
I wouldn't be surprised if Black Noir...
Yeah, Black Noir.
Who is he supposed to be? Is he supposed to be Batman?
No.
In the comic book, he's supposed to be a clone of Homelander.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So, but in this, they're basically making him like Batman. That
he's just got super strength.
Agile, super strength, and smart and intelligent. But apparently...
With a nut allergy, though.
Yeah.
Susceptible to all the joys. What the fuck? Really?
Seen with him, like, on top of the roof of that house across the street. Hell, he's just sitting there crossing, staring at him. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But
I love that guy.
Man, I really don't see anything happen with his character this season.
I think they're saving it for the last season.
Yeah, but, I mean, the 7 is just kind of up in the air. I mean, at this point, there's 3-4 people. I mean, something has to happen to Queen Maeve with Black Noir if he actually survives him trying to get his EpiPen.
Black Noir is a clone of the guy that's in charge of Vought?
You talking about Carlos Esposito?
Yeah.
Well, so like the whole point with Vought Industries is that it was founded by a Nazi scientist who was trying to create the master race.
Hydra, basically. It's kind of like that.
But that one guy is in charge.
Publicly traded company. So it makes sense, assuming that Stormfront's whole point for being there is because of what's going on with Vought and that fact that Compound V's dumped out there to willy-nilly to anyone.
Yeah.
And it might be part of it and everything.
And then I also forgot to bring up that whole people being influenced by things they see on the internet and the guy shooting a store clerk because he believes that he's a super. I'm like, oh geez.
And then they threw him under the bus, which is kind of funny.
Yeah. But it just seemed like there was just too much stuff going on in this episode. But I mean, if you take all the stuff that happens in this particular episode and give those to the first 2-3 episodes, this is probably a better season. Just way too many things going on. So I guess we'll see you next week when you have a chance after everything is final and complete. Watch The Boys, but also watch season 1. Just kind of get a refresher on everything that goes on. But it's an okay show. It's just this season for me is just not as good as the first season. And that is the Beast Game Podcast.